Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Boy, that old Halloween season's rolling up on us fast, isn't it? November just around the corner. And those of us who live in Ohio, November is a line of demarcation when your weather changes for sure. And I'm just trying to ponder, thinking yesterday, how many more winters do we have? Each one of us. You know, tomorrow's promised to no man. Get yourself prepared to roll into the winter. Get your firewood cut up and all that kind of stuff that we have to do out here. And man, we live in amazing times, don't we? And if those of us who really, really believe that we are in the end of days, not everybody believes that, by the way, but that we are at the end of days, man, if there's going to be some crazy things happen, aren't there? Bible says men's hearts going to be failing them for fear for things that are coming upon the earth. And wow, crazy thing. Got a lot to talk about today. I didn't sleep very well on yesterday's show. When I walked away from yesterday's show, I didn't feel like, usually when I'm done with the show, it's in the can. So that was a pretty good one. I felt I left some dangling participles yesterday, and I want to be able to jump into some of those. So stay with us today as we do move into those things. I got to clarify something that happens to me every once in a while. And I don't want anybody to take this wrong. Okay. When we're doing the show and, let's say Larry comes in and Larry talks for, I don't know, 30 seconds, says something. And then after Larry gets off, let's say that, somebody else comes in, they talk. A lot of times as they're speaking, I'm listening. I am listening. But as they're speaking, I'm thinking in my head, where are we going next? So I'm trying. I'm a. What do they call those guys? I'm a conductor. Part of the show is being a conductor. When do we bring in the bass drums, and when do we hear the flutes? And so as the show's progressing, a lot of times, I'm listening, and I'm not listening. I'm listening, but I'm not totally listening because somebody's making a comment. I'm listening to it, and I'm getting ready to. You know, okay, drums, start. And I find myself often when someone gets through speaking, I either don't acknowledge what they said or sometimes say, yeah, that's right, Larry, or something like that. And a lot of times I don't even really know sometimes the depth of the point that they made. I'm just being honest. It's hard to listen and think and talk at the same time. And so I keep getting, not I keep, that's a bad word. I hear every once in a while from people who say, hey, Larry said this and you agreed with him. And I'm thinking, what? What? So yeah, I went back and played the tapes over and Larry said this and you agreed with him. And I don't agree with this. Do you agree with that? And I said, I'm thinking, first of all, what did Larry say? I'm trying to play back in my head. So, hey, folks, so a lot of times out there, I want you to know this, that to the best of my ability, if I have a disagreement, I try to voice that disagreement. And the fact that I just kind of brush off or acknowledge something somebody said doesn't mean I'm necessarily in full agreement. And that's one of the things we spoke about yesterday. This is a meat shop, man. We throw the meat on the table and we chop it up. And one of the great things about it is you don't have to agree with me and I don't have to agree with you. And so many of the things that we go to war over are non-essentials. It just doesn't matter. And I've used this example 1,000 times. See, there I'm lying, exaggerating. I believe in a rapture. I believe in a rapture. But is the timing of it, the type of it, we don't all agree on all that stuff. And if I say to you that, I don't necessarily agree with that, are we now enemies? are we now in East Coast? But you do know that there's a lot of different denominations, right? And there's a lot of different denominations because they don't all agree. And because they didn't all agree, they go start their own church. And I don't want this to be that way. You don't have to agree with me. And I'm not always going to agree with you. We're still brothers, all right? And let's not let these, I consider them to be secondary issues. Let them not make us mad and disagree and fight with each other. Is that Larry Summer I'm trying to come in?
No, this is Dale, Coach. Let me bring it down to a Cajun understanding for everybody. It's like a pot of gumbo. I like gumbo. I don't like okra in my gumbo. Some do, but I still like gumbo. Love you, Coach.
Dale, thanks. Thanks, buddy. And this isn't you don't climb up the hierarchy because you agree with me or don't agree with me. You are perfectly fine disagreeing with me, okay? Perfectly fine. I watched a video yesterday. You know, I'd spoken a little bit about Kanye West. I don't want to get in this too deeply. I said to my I watched a video where a relatively well-known pastor, a guy I like to listen to be honest with you, just ripped Conway West up one side and down the other as a false prophet and yada yada yada. Now listen, I don't know about Kanye. I really don't know. But I think right now, have people out there been praying that some of these guys would get saved? I wonder if people have been praying that Kanye West and LeBron James and some of these people who really impact people. I wonder, have people been praying that they would get saved? And why is it when we see people come out and say that they were saved, that others are mad about them? Oh, he's not really saved. He's just, no. And I made the comment yesterday of how many people have heard the name of Jesus over the past week because of Kanye West. You know, Conway, yesterday, somebody asked him something, and he said, don't ask me. I'm not a theologian. I'm new at this. That's what he said. Don't ask me. I'm not a theologian. I'm new at this. And I thought, man, what an answer. What a great answer.
if all of us look back at our past, when we first turned the lordship of our lives over to Jesus Christ, did we know what we know now?
Oh, my goodness, Larry.
Did we keep our mouths shut until we know what we know now? And now we can open our mouths? It's ridiculous. Yeah. I knew a fellow that he was truly surrendered his life to Jesus. And the first book he picked up in a Christian reading room was the Concordance. And he thought the concordance was the Bible. Yeah. And he proceeded to preach a message from the concordance that made sense.
Wow. Isn't that something? It's like, Larry, when I got saved at World Harvest Church back in 1987. And the next thing I knew, I started hearing about the rapture and being out of here. And I was an old Catholic boy, right? All I knew, I was saved in my heart. But the doctrine and the theology I was receiving somebody else's doctrine and somebody else's theology, the pastor at that church. I was learning what he believed. And, you know, I suppose he still believes it to today. We don't agree on theology. I've moved on. I've grown. So I think we ought to all direct our prayers to Kanye and pray that the Lord really gets a hold of his heart. Because, folks, do you have any idea the impact that Kanye West could have on the American culture? Do you have any idea, really? It's sad that it takes somebody like him to do it, but that's where the young people are looking. They're buying his music, and now he's preaching about Jesus, and Jesus is king. And why is it so quick to destroy or try to tear down? He's not the Pope.
Here's a teachable moment. You know, we can choose to pray about Kanye West or other people the way we think things should go, or we can choose to simply be obedient to the way Jesus taught us to pray and pray, Father, your will be done in this situation, and then trust him to figure it out instead of needing us to tell him what to do.
Amen. Well, Larry, that's another whole thing. You know, I would love to go around in some of my more devious moments. I would love to go around and see what people do in their prayer closets. Hear people say that, I spend 3 hours a day in my prayer closet. But really? You spend 3 hours a day in your prayer closet? Wow. Well, you do. Well, I pray. Well, what does that sound? What would that sound like? 3 hours in your prayer closet. What would that? I don't know if I could do it. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know if I could do it. And see, that doubles me back around to where I want to go a little bit today. I got some stuff I got to get to first. Bear with me. Of trying to critically, honestly, fairly, openly judge, that's not the right word I want to use, evaluate what I believe to be godly people are saying. For instance, some of my dearest friends hated me. No, that's not the wrong word. I got some, there's some pretty bad stuff. I got some of my dear friends when 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever it was, I came out and I said, I think Donald Trump's God's man. You would not believe the pushback I got from other strong Christian people that I love and respect. It was amazing. And so one of the things we spoke about yesterday is how can two men of God see things so differently? I want to dig into that a little bit more today. And, you know, we have a tendency to say, like Larry did yesterday, I'm not criticizing you, Larry. Like Larry said, well, they don't read their Bibles. Well, I was talking about people who do. I know most people don't read their Bibles, but I know some people who do. And we're not on the same page on some stuff. That's what I want to talk about. Hey, this weekend coming up, those of you who happen to be local, we're doing some, we're putting on a roof on one of our garages at Sky High. And if some of you could give us some time probably on Friday or Saturday to come and help us do it, we think it's only going to take us maybe 3 or 4 hours to be able to do it. We got all the materials, we got all that stuff. And Mark's coming up and Joseph, they're heading up, they're probably on their way right now to come up for the week to help get some work done. But if you happen to be local or close and you could give us a little bit of time on Friday, Saturday, we sure would appreciate it. Doesn't take 50 of us, but if we could get a handful of you that are close and available, sure would appreciate it. And if you can make it, just email me and say, Coach, I can come and help. You know, tear some stuff off, put some stuff down and clean up a little bit. So it's nothing really, really major. Okay. So I just want to make sure I put that offer out there and we'll buy you some food and take care of you. Get some good, good fellowship as we're working around. Okay. Second thing, I've got to put up really, really important. Jared or Connor, I'm not sure who's pulling the strings here this morning. Pull up. Let's go there real quick. The Reliant movie. Many of you went and saw it the other night and we didn't really get a chance to discuss that a whole lot. But I don't know if you know, this is fascinating. Day number 5, the Reliant video is number 1 on Amazon. Number 1 movie being sold on Amazon is the Reliant. 5 days in a row. That's amazing. That's up against the Lion King and Aladdin and other things. The number 1 movie being sold on Amazon right now today is the Reliant. Now, folks, I saw yesterday online, it was $11.99. I paid that much to go myself. $11.99. And I would just encourage you that if you could help. Because see, if the Reliant gives a strong enough push and people enjoy the Reliant, it'll help more of these type of films be made. You understand that, right? So if you're sitting out there and you saw the Reliant, you think others ought to see it too, or you didn't see it and you'd like to, go to Amazon.com and look for the Reliant. And $11, I think it was $11.99 yesterday. You can buy that video. And so we're going to buy some. I'm going to buy several of them and give them to several of my friends just because I think it's a great way to support that video. Okay, cool. Then coming up, this is really critical. The 16th of November, Jamie Walden's coming into town. And we're doing a free event here in the Newark area. Then that's Saturday. Jamie's going to do an all-day event. We're going to do some training. It's just going to be a great event. It's free. We'd like for you to come. I can't house everybody. Certainly can't. But there are hotels that are available. Or you can sleep on floors, whatever. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. That is November 16th. And then on the 17th, Jamie is going to speak at Dr. Mike Spalding's church in Lima, Ohio. So if you can't make it on Saturday to the event and you live closer to Dr. Mike, you can go there on Sunday and see it at his church. But I've got a little 3-minute. Jared, pull up, or Connor, pull up that video that says Jamie Waldron and go to the 3-minute mark of that. It's a video that he did with Lisa Haven. And this is just the heart. This is just the heart of what Jamie wants to do. Okay. Go ahead and play that real quickly.
Been realizing it, they've succumbed to a lot of the psyop that is being propagated against the people, which is this Pavlovian dog type of response where they have no response whatsoever. But what's intriguing is when we look at the scriptures and when we look at the word as a whole from Genesis to Revelation, what we see is that the Lord, even beginning with Abraham, and everything's a type and shadow of Christ, but the Lord always has a ram in the bush. He always has a people that are set apart for his special purposes and his special mission. And so at the same time as this narrative is unfolding before our eyes, which we know we're seeing anything from transhumanism to biotech interface to the lawlessness abounding in any and every arena of our corporal reality, is that in the midst thereof, as many people are being swayed and pulled away from the faith and the great apostasy is occurring, is the Lord always specifically has a class, a group, a cast of people who know him fully, who know with intimacy his commands and decrees. They dwell with him, they hide with him, they abide with him, they commune with the Lord all the time. They're like Joshua, who even when Moses left the tent of meeting in Exodus 33, Joshua remained. Who was it that entered the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. How was Joshua able to go forward and take it when the Lord had told him to? Is because he had communed with the Lord ahead of time. He knew his God, and therefore he was equipped to go forth and do exploits. So what we have is we have this duality occurring in our generation, especially with particular to Christians, right? I mean, it's humanity definitely in a general sense, but Christians in particular, where you have those who are going to be overcome, but then what we're promised in scripture is you have those who do overcome. Daniel 11:32 says that those who know their God, this is regards to the time of the end, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We are not of those who are overcome. We are of those who do overcome. So it's a completely different posture.
It is. And that's the thing.
Connor, whatever. So Jamie's going to be here November 16th here in Newark, Ohio. And I've got it's kind of my fault. We're a little bit behind on the website. We do need you to register. It's the event's free, but we do need you to register so we figure out how many seats we have to set up and food. And this would be a great time for our group to try to come together. I know we put a lot of demands on you, but this would be a great, great opportunity for all of us to come together. It will be worth the drive to come and the fellowship that we're going to be able to have on that weekend. Okay. That's November 16th. It's going to run from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock, roughly. We don't know, you know, when we'll get off and have a beautiful facility that's being donated to. How about that? Churches won't let us use their building. Well, be careful. It's hard to find a church that will let you use their building free, and they're going to be able to let us do it free. And then, as I said, on Sunday then, Jamie's going to go to Lima, Ohio, and speak at Pastor Mike Spaulding's church as well. So put that on there. Pencil that in. We would sure love to have you come. And Jared, we need to just get up a registration or something like that on our website regarding this event. Okay, man, I've rambled my lips. It's been 18 minutes already. Got it all. Anything? Anybody? I want to try to see here a second if I've got an email. Yeah, Mike Spaulding, come on in here, Mike, if you can. Doc Spaulding. He emailed me after the show yesterday. He flew home from Kalispell, Montana yesterday, and he listened to the show yesterday. And he said, "Coach, I heard what you were trying to say." He said, "I'm not sure everybody else heard what you were trying to say." So, Mike, come on in here a second and tell us what you heard me trying to say, brother.
Hey, Coach. Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead. Yes. What did you hear? Yeah. What did you try to say yesterday, Mike? What was I trying to say?
What you were trying to say is, Coach, we can be two God-fearing, God-loving, Holy Spirit-filled people and have a different perspective on the same issue. And that doesn't make one of us a heretic. It doesn't mean one of us is any less filled with the Holy Spirit. It means, and this is what folks need to understand, Coach. We all have an assignment that God has given us. Some of us carry out that assignment with a degree of hope in what we see. Some of us have a more dystopian view, if you will, of the assignment. Now, what that means in specifics and particular terms is this. Some look at the government of the United States, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House, there's no hope. Some look at the government and see who's in the White House and say, there's a glimmer of hope. We have a reprieve. We have a brief window where we need to take action and push back while we can. That's the difference, Coach. That's what you were trying to get across yesterday from my view. There's hope. Nobody's saying Donald Trump is the Messiah. That's the accusation, the criticism. Nobody's saying that. What we're saying is there's hope. There, it could have been a lot worse. And I agree completely with you that if that witch would have got in, you'd been one of the first targets, as well as some of the other folks that we know, and would have shut down and censored you completely. Amen. So while we have hope, we need to press forward. That's the point. That's what you were trying to say. And it doesn't mean that anybody's less spiritual, less Holy Spirit filled. It's that we have different assignments. We have different lanes we're in. And we should not be offended at someone else who's carrying out the assignment that God has given them. And that's exactly what you're doing.
Perspective is everything, isn't it, folks? Perspective is everything. We, two of us can look at the same situation and depending on the perspective that we're looking at it from. Let me give you, for instance, we see somebody just saw today, a pastor who down in Florida is charged with, he ended up killing himself. Pretty famous pastor in that area anyway. And he was charged with sexual conduct with a young girl years ago, maybe 5, 10, maybe 15 years. I don't know. Sex with some underage girl, however many years ago. And you go on there and you see people will say, wow, he getting what he deserved. Blah, 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 blah. Boy, he ruined a lot of lives. He's getting what he deserves, right? And that's a Christian perspective. And I tend to agree with it. But as a guy who's kind of walked through, I'll just leave it at that. If it's a loved one, you don't feel that way. You don't feel that way. If you knew that pastor and you had fellowship with that pastor, your heart would be grieved. You wouldn't be looking for vengeance. You'd be grieved. You wouldn't be for him and be encouraging him and on, standing up and defending him, but you would be grieved. And it's all perspective, see? It's all perspective. And so if we think about this even from a theological standpoint, it's just a good example. Okay, here's a good example. If I believe, let's say I believed that we are in the tribulation period right now. Let's say I believe that. My perspective on what was going on would be a lot different than someone who doesn't believe we are. Are you with me? So the problem that we run into, or the questions that I run into, is how, and only the Lord maybe can help us out. How could what's the fireman's name? What's that fireman's name? Come on,
Taylor, Mark Taylor.
Mark Taylor. How can Mark Taylor see one thing so much this way, and somebody else who's a prophet see it so much another way? That baffles me. I don't have the answer to it. And so that's what sometimes makes us sit back and scratch our heads and say, what is going on? Mark Taylor says, this is Trump's man, but this guy over here says, be careful. He's a trickster. Trump's a trickster. And I think that applies probably in a lot of different theological directions. So let me shut up, man. Come on in.
You know, the most qualified person in the history to run the affairs of men chose by the leadership of God the Father not to get at the head of the political system, but to point out deficiencies in the political and religious hierarchies. There has never in the history of mankind been a perfect leader. God had, except when God was the leader of the nation of Israel before they even went to their judges. But and as long as God created a system where man gets involved in guiding himself around, there's never been a perfect leader. Now, so if somebody has a perfect candidate, let me know. I'll consider supporting them.
So let's, on the same vein, and I don't want to stay here all day, all right? Just bear with me a second. Is Kanye good or is Kanye bad? Is Kanye's conversion good or is Kanye's conversion bad? Folks, I'm telling you, go on Facebook, spend 5 minutes on Facebook, and you'll see both sides from people who claim to be hearing from the Lord. And so that's, to me, that is the, that's almost an unanswerable. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how.
Dave.
Yep.
Okay. I listened to yesterday's show, and I wanted to chime in on, but I couldn't because I was obviously listening to a replay. See, I think we're all able to have the ability to be deceived in one way or another. And if you think, oh, no, there's no way that I can be deceived, then you certainly are.
You already are. That's right.
Okay. Because if you feel like you cannot be fooled, then you are already fooled. That's what I'm trying to say. So it doesn't matter about those fine point details are not in there because we're arguing theology or are we arguing salvation?
Mm.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Do we love Jesus? Do we want to move forward and expand the gospel? Or do we want to stick to our things that we can't eat, any meat on Friday?
Well said, Chad. Well said.
Amen, Chad. Amen.
Yep. So we just got to work out our own salvation, man. We just got to work out our own salvation. Just draw near to the Lord. And, you know, for instance, hey, Robert, get ready to read something. I want you to go to Randy's email, Jared. I'm going to let Randy come in here a little bit because I think this is really, really important. There are people who are not part of the Q anymore because of my support for Trump. You know that? Can somebody tell me what that has to do with anything? And I don't think anybody's ever had me say he was the Messiah or he's the greatest thing that ever came down the road. In fact, I've said it a lot of times. Trump is God's man, but we don't even know what that means yet. We don't know. He's definitely God's man. And we don't know whether he's Christian. We don't know a lot of these things, right? Why would you quit being friends with me over that? Because I support him. You don't support him? Cool. All right. Cool. I don't support the Pope. You support the Pope? Can we be friends? Catholics. I know Catholic brothers. I had one of my Catholic friends said, I'm pointed out that something about, so we got two popes. So what pope are you talking about? He said, that whole thing, that's a mess. He said, that's not Catholicism. Now, that's what my Catholic buddy said, right? And then I run into another Catholic brother who's just 100% behind the Pope. So it's kind of a mess, right? But Randy sent me an email this morning. And Randy, I'm going to let you come in and as we get it up on the screen. I want you to talk about it here a little bit, Randy. Are things getting lighter or are things getting darker? Go ahead and explain this, Randy. You sent this to me today. For those of you just listening, Randy's put a graph, a chart up on the screen for us. Christians in the earth. If you hang on, Randy, let me read it. So for those who are just listening. So Randy has a chart. It says Christians in the earth, and it has the year, and then the ratio, and the percentage of population. Now I know that's even hard to visualize, but yeah, in the year 60 A.D. the ratio of Christians in the earth was 1 in 360. Randy got this. Randy didn't make this up. He got it from an authority. He'll tell us what that is, which was 0.28% of the population. 60 AD, 0.28% of the population were Christians. In 1000 AD, it was now 1 in 270 people on the earth were Christians, and that was 0.37%. Not 37%. Yeah, 37%. Right? No.
No.
3%. 3%. Less than 1%. 1900. Yeah. In 1900, it was 1 in 51. In 1900, only 1 in 51 people in the world were Christians. Now, it's gone up. It's gone up. It's 2%. In 1980, it was 1 in 11. It was 9% of the population was Christian. In 1997, it was 1 in 4. 25% of the world were considered Christian. In 2010, it was 1 in 3.3, or 31% of the world's population came Christianity. In 2015, Christianity was one in every three people considered themselves a Christian. That was 32% of the population. And Randy sends me this chart, says, Coach, is the world getting darker? Is the world getting lighter? Come on in, Randy.
It's all in perspective how you see things, Coach. If it, and also, we're living in an age of instant information. So that changes our perspective. We all we hear is evil, darkness, and we compare it to what? So you have to really just throw out everything that you know and just look at the real statistics. Now, I realize probably not every one of these people that are going to confess are really strong Christians, you know, but this is just the facts. I mean, this is, you know, the next closest one is Islam, and it's down at like 23%. But that, my point is, look at where we've came from. It's taken, remember, the scripture, the wheels of God are always turning, you know, in the scripture in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. And it says that stone that God made, pulled out of that mountain without hands, that stone that struck the image, which was the first major empire. This in perspective, we're talking about the four empires here that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream. It says that that great mountain, it became a great mountain and it filled the whole earth. And then if you go on over to verse 44, this is all in the same perspective. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's talking about what Christ did. That's his kingdom that started there. We started with point nothing. And then we're at 0.28% in about 20, 30 years. Okay, it says, and the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, no. Coach, is this when we get to heaven? Or did it start when Jesus left the earth?
Mm.
You know, yes, I realize there's so much on the earth that's dark. But compared to where we've been, there is so much light pushing that darkness. Why do we think evil is escalating right now, today, in our lifetime? I think it's because the light is exposing it. Coach, we wouldn't even know about most of it if it wasn't for people like us and people that is exposing evil. It would still be there, ruling.
Perspective. The light's getting brighter, so we're seeing the evil more.
It's
not that it hasn't been here. It's always been here. We're just seeing it more. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, real quickly. This is fascinating, Randy, because we are hearing so much about how things are getting darker and things are getting worse. And Isaiah 9, that's it. Go on down, brother. For unto us, what is it? For unto, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at this. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, folks, there's a very important word right there in the middle of verse 7, right at the beginning of verse 7. It doesn't say of his government. It says of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Did you get that? Ever increasing, never ceasing to get larger. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So if we read this right, God's kingdom from the very time it began is in a continuous expansion. No matter how dark things are looking, folks, the light is greater. More people are Christians today than at any time in history. That's a staggering thought, isn't it? You say, how can that be? Everywhere I look around, I see all this stuff's going on everywhere I look. How can America be more Christian? Well, It is. Evidently it is. Oh, wait a minute. Doesn't say America, does it? Of the increase of America. It doesn't say that. America's been honored. America's been honored because we've taken the gospel to the world. We've been the beacon of light to the world. And that light that we took and those seeds that we planted is showing up and growing and expanding in other areas of the world beyond what we can ever imagine. Christianity is expanding in some of the most populous places in the world. It's expanding in China. It's expanding in India. It's expanding in, well, pick one. It's, you get away from America, where we seem to be getting a little bit dimmer, Christianity is exploding and expanding in other areas of the world. See, we think God is an American, and he isn't. Fascinating, Randy. That's some fascinating stuff.
One other point, Coach, is if you look at the stats now, okay, the United States, is the growth rate of Christianity is level. It's not, it's just staying constant. So with the death rate and all, you put all these things and these factors in, we're staying even. Okay, Europe is going negative, and it's really going negative fast. Most of the world, most of the nations on the earth, other than these two, it's expanding. And in some areas, Coach, it's a really exponential increase. I mean, it's really changing fast.
Mm-hmm. So Randy,
we can't judge the earth by us. That's my point.
Yeah. The fact that America is appearing to be more evil doesn't mean the kingdom is not expanding. See?
Yes.
We got to take our eyes off of it. It's like an old quarterback, you know. We're watching America, and America was great when the quarterback was 30 years old and could move around, was good. But now that same old quarterback is 105, America just ain't quite what it used to be. But luckily, the seeds that we've planted throughout the world are continuing to grow. If we can get our eyes off of us and our immediate project. Fascinating.
It's kind of like what Paul had shared, I believe, where America is. And if we even look in the Old Testament, we see where God chastised Israel, put them in bondage time and time again when they rejected God. America started off coming out of the Mayflower that's saying, we will have no king but King Jesus. Well, mm-hmm. Paul said, my brethren, finish the race that has been set before you. What has hindered you? America has been hindered, and therefore God is chastising America. It's not that he wants America to pass away, but America has rejected God. Therefore, God rejects America. But the gospel, like Randy was talking, it is flourishing in these third world countries. And amen. Coach, if I may, one more thing as a teaching point, hopefully for everybody here. Our relationship, I believe, is not because I have to see you face to face or whatever. It has been set in stone by God. Brother, I was one of those people that did not agree with Trump, came against you. I don't think it was a bad coming against you. But brother, one of the things is that I recognize, and I was a chairperson for another person on the ballot, is that at the end of the day, I now see Trump, what he's doing, and I look at you and go, brother, man, you were right about this. Because it's okay to say when you're wrong. And you know what? I'm not saying that you're wrong if you don't believe in Trump. You got a conviction. But, brother, I'm not going to separate my fellowship with you based on this man running for president.
I sure hope not, man. I sure hope not.
Well, you know not. That's why I'm here. That's why I say this is how it should be. We had a disagreement on it. But guess what, brother? Our agreements, which are in Christ, are so much greater.
Hey, folks, how about this? I just pulled up a chart. I don't know if I could send it to let me see if I can get it to you real quick here, Jared. This is fascinating. Somebody go ahead and talk because I want everybody to be able to see this chart. I'm going to send this to you right now, Jared. Somebody come on in here. Come on, buy me a minute.
I sure will, Coach. Remember on talking about Kanye West, whatever his name is. We talked about that after the Kanye West, right? Yeah, I know him about as much as you do. The fact of the matter is that we pray for him to get saved, and then he gets saved, and I believe he really got saved. Then all of a sudden, we want to criticize his salvation. It's kind of like what Ananias. He looked when God says, "I'm sending you this man Saul, who's blinded, and he's my man." He goes, "Hey God, do you know what this guy has done? Have you seen what he's done?" And God's like, "Yeah, I think so. I'm telling you."
Well, and the same thing then applies, at least in my mind. You know. we have to be very careful what Kanye may learn now, what kind of Christianity he learns now. That's what we ought to be praying for him, right? That he gets grounded in a good gospel message, a true gospel message. But we shouldn't be criticizing him now that he's not pure enough. That, folks, if a guy like Kanye, what a picture. He was the pagan of pagans. And now he's speaking against all that pagantry. Wow, can't we see that? And instead of us going, well, he's not really saved, or he's just, it's so shallow. He still wants money. Oh, come on, man.
Dave, one point that I thought was interesting that, see, earlier he had come out for Trump in support of Trump.
Yes.
And see, he took a big adjustment on that, and he took all this stuff, this criticism and everything against him. So for him to evolve now into this, not saying that one is the other, okay, I'm not saying that. But see, you can tell that, see, something is at work with him, that he's being evolved. Yes. He's being maneuvered around, you know. And see, I think we just overanalyze him sometimes.
We overanalyze.
He's just a person.
That's right. With a platform, a person with a platform. I got up on the screen.
And I remember it was just, a year or two ago that his very friends and family sent him to the psych unit. That ought to tell you to be careful of your friends and family.
Wow, how about that one, huh? Why'd they want to send him to the psych unit? Because he was born again, and they thought he was nuts. Anybody else had that happen to him? I still run into that. So up on the screen I have the world population. Now let's consider what Randy has said and what Randy has showed us about the populations. In 2019, China had 1.4 billion people. Billion people. What if the gospel is growing and expanding in China beyond what we can ever imagine? Underground churches. What, can you imagine? What if there was a 10% growth in Christianity in China? How many people would that be? What about India? India. India, look at this, my friends. India is almost five times, well, let's say four. Four times more people in India than in the United States. Four, maybe five times more people in China than in the United States. If you were the Lord and you were going to, does God only love Americans? Can only Americans be Christ's children? Well, if you were God, or if I was God, and I was going to look for, if I was going to go fishing, I'd go fishing in a good fishing hole. And I'd say China would be a pretty good fishing hole. And so would India be a pretty good fishing hole. In fact, Indonesia is almost as big as the United States. Who would have ever thought that? And Brazil and Pakistan and Nigeria, Bangladesh and Russia and Mexico. See, it's all perspective, isn't it? It's all perspective. So what Randy showed us today is, boys and girls, the kingdom is still expanding, man. No matter how bad it looks here, this truth is marching on. Anybody else? Hey, get ready here. Robert, get ready to read your devotions one. Anybody else want to jump in here?
And more than that, Coach, there is a hunger like never before in those countries. Where there lacks a hunger and a zeal here in America. We just profess Jesus off the drippings of our lips, brother, but in our hearts we're calloused and wicked.
Dale, didn't Jesus say you take that lampstand and give it to another? Isn't that what he said to Israel? Would it be possible?
He said, repent or I'll remove that lampstand.
Could he do it in the United States? Could he take it and give it to another? Could China?
He did it to England.
Could China be the most Christian nation in the world 20 years from now? Could Indonesia? See, we got everything from American perspective, and it's not always healthy to have that. Come on in, Robert, October 29th. October 29th, keepers of faith, finders of truth. You live and with us today, Robert?
Yeah, I'm here. Why don't you pull up Ephesians 5, 11 through 15. This is a good verse on what we're talking about. Then I'll get into the devotion. Ephesians 5, 11 through 15. Ephesians 5, 11 through 15. You know, around the world, we're seeing more lights, more Christians rising up, more lights shining. In America, we have fewer lights, but they're stronger. They're brighter lights.
That's really true. Say that again, Robert, because that is really true. The real lights in America are getting stronger. There are fewer lights, but they're getting stronger.
Yeah, lots in America become stronger, and there's more lots, though, in other countries. But they're not as strong and bright, but that they are shining the light. Now, okay. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead reprove them. For it is shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved and are manifest by the light, for whosoever does that manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Mm-hmm. See, we rise from the dead, become awake spiritually. Christ shines on us and we become a brighter light. Therefore, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He didn't say, watch how you talk. So watch how you walk.
Wow.
And we will walk correctly as the light shines more brightly as we rise from the dead, spiritually death. Now, that's what the devotion's about today, actually, believe it or not, is how to arise from the dead and have the light shine on you brightly and exposed to darkness. It doesn't take a 12-step program. It doesn't take years of in cemetery or hearing some great pastor to get you to shine brightly. It's not that complicated.
Amen, Robert.
It says, this is a quote. This is what I quoted, wrote one day. You will never, okay, go ahead and put the devotion up. You will never begin to do the supernatural and walk on water while you stay in the pleasure cruise ship of institutional religion.
Mm, you
gotta get out of the cruise ship. Get a spiritual life. Don't let the devil steal yours. And this is not too long a devotional, but it says, even if you are poor and miserable and wretched and blind and naked, God says, repent and return to me, and I will heal your backslidings. It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take a rehab program, a 12-step program. It's, I don't care how bad you are, what you've done. Restoration is right there for the having. Then it says, you're forgiven and restoring. If you want to write, go down here. It says, it says here, where are we at?
I'm with you. I'm looking at the book, Robert.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do too.
There you
are. Says, you're forgiven and restoring Heavenly Father opens blinded eyes, enlightens darkened minds, cleanses polluted hearts, washes dirty hands, and puts praise back on silent lips.
Boy.
And a quote, and if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Remember that in Genesis. Yes. If your days seem to be consumed in smoke, your bones scorched like a hearth, your heart smitten like grass, which withers away, and you're groaning, deafening to your ears, and you resemble a pelican in the wilderness. Remember, his light will dispel the darkness. God's fire will evaporate the fog. His wind will clear the smog. Then you can mount up with wings like an eagle and soar to the sun. S-O-N. Okay. So we just do this, repent, be reconciled to God. Doesn't take 12 steps, then your light will shine brightly. You'll expose the darkness and you'll walk the walk rather than just talk with no walk.
Amen. Amen. I was just thinking about something, Robert, as you're doing. I was thinking about my wife, who I love my wife, love her with all my heart. I've always said that my wife, Michelle, gives birth to, she's fertile. She's fertile. You plant something in Michelle and it gets, whether it's faith, whatever. And I find her all the time, not all the time, honey, sorry. She'll be looking at something on Facebook, and she'll say, oh, look at what they're saying about whatever. And I'll say, well, who's saying it? And then I'll look at the source and laugh. But see, she has a tendency to give birth positive or negative to everything that comes into her. Anybody else like that? She's fertile. You plant a seed in her, and it bears fruit, my wife. And so one of the battles that we fight, that I fight, Michelle and I fight together, is to try to not let those bad seeds grow. Folks, we have to be very, very careful what we fertilize, what we give life to, what we speak life into. And I'm often saying to her, oh, don't pay any attention to that. And I think, as Chad put in the chat here, that's what maybe that kind of rhymes, Chad put in the chat, is the media is constantly giving us the negative. And so it's hard if you're not being led by the Spirit and you don't have the shield of faith up. By the way, that is what they call it, right? A shield of faith. If you don't allow the shield of faith to be up, you're going to have a lot of arrows that are going to penetrate into you that maybe necessarily aren't fatal. Maybe they're not fatal, but they penetrate into you anyway, and they change your entire perspective. We have to be very, very careful what we give permission to come in and make dwelling in our heart.
Dave, I think that's why it's so important that we are reading his word to balance out what the world is giving us. There's tremendous joy in Christ. There's tremendous hope in his word. So if we spend 3 hours on Drudge, 2 hours on Huddle, and who knows what else we listen to, Hageman at Night, and we're being fed, even in the groups that we like, a challenging world, we have to feed ourselves through prayer, fellowship, and reading his word. If you don't, it's going to be a bummer day.
Yeah, bring that balance back in. And again, I call them signposts, right? What we see going, we see signposts. This shows us where we're heading, but we can't focus in on that one problem. We just can't focus in on it. We have a tendency to want to do that. Hey, Connor, pull up. I've been trying to get this email in for about 4, 5, 6 weeks, it seems like. It's seven great lies. It's an email that says 7 great lies that I think that we're dealing with in the church. By the way, anybody can jump in there anytime you want to.
Coach, I like what Roger said. We got to keep feeding on God's word. Kind of look at that as weed and feed. You go and buy some weed and feed, and I don't know how that stuff works, and you spray it on your grass, it makes your grass grow and makes your weeds die, brother.
Amen, buddy. It does. Hey. It does.
Go ahead. I think we should also remember that feeding is important, but you need time to ruminate, chew, and meditate on stuff too, instead of constantly seeking new information.
Yeah, not make it like McDonald's, right? Sit down and eat the steak and chew it and enjoy it, rather than getting a McDonald's hamburger and cramming it down your throat real quick before you run to a meeting. It's a real kind of comparison to the two things. I've been trying to get this, figure out how to work this in for the last a month. I swear it's been maybe not that long. And this is 7 lies of the American church. 7 lies. Thank you. I will. Number one, think about American Christianity. Or say, hey, Randy, I want to say this. You've brought a new perspective into my spirit man today. Things aren't getting worse, folks. They're not getting worse. They may be getting worse here. They're not getting worse. They're not getting worse. The kingdom's expanding. We have God's promise. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's expanding, even right now. Right now. Even as they're trying to get Trump, and even as with child being trafficked, children are being trafficked, and even as drugs continue to thrive, God's kingdom is expanding. There are new people finding the Lord every day. What was this? What was the confluence of events that opened Kanye West's ears to hear the gospel? Who did that? Who presented that to him? How did that come about? And always understand that the Lord is always at work, even in ways that we don't understand, and certainly in ways, I hate to tell you this, he's at work in ways that we would not approve of. If he came to us and asked us what we thought about his plan, we'd say, oh, no, no. Because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we get ourselves, and the older we get in Christianity, the older I get in Christianity, the more I think I'm right. And, boy, is that ever wicked. Always think you're right. That's wicked. That's pride. And the Lord tried to deliver us from us. So here are the 7 lies of a modern American Christianity that are killing us. Number one, the overemphasis of prosperity. And I always say, listen, if the gospel doesn't work in Iran, then it's no gospel. And the American gospel, for the most part, has an overemphasis of prosperity. We view things and stuff as the blessings of God. Truth be told, Some of that stuff you have is a curse. Some of that stuff you have drawn you away from the Lord. Some of that stuff that you went out and bought has prevented you from giving to those ministries that could help. It's just the truth. Second thing, we have an exaggerated view of grace. Grace, 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 grace. That's all. That is, it is a gospel of grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But we can't over-exaggerate it. Number three, antinomianism. And I've been trying to talk about that for the last couple of weeks. I got a video, but I'm not going to get to it this morning. The anti-law. Anti-law. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Not having to obey the Lord. Those who love me, keep my commandments. That doesn't apply anymore. Number four, the deification of man. How else can you explain Kanye West having so many followers before he got saved? How many followers did he have? Well, the deification of man. LeBron James thinks he has, he made the statement that he's a person of whatever of influence, so he has a, he's required to speak out. Well, good for him. Why is he a person of influence? What? LeBron James? He dribbles a basketball. He makes a lot of money. Why does he make a lot of money? He can dribble a basketball. That's why. And we're deifying man. We want to be like man. Number five, challenging the authority of the word. Did God really say? This is why Christianity is becoming weaker. See, we say Jesus loves everybody, and that trumps homosexuality is an abomination. It's a challenging the authority in the word of God. Number six, the idea that we reject hell. There is no hell. God is too loving and too caring. It's all about grace, grace, grace. He would, how could a loving God send a person to hell? We've all heard that, right? This is one of the overemphasis or one of the lies that we're hearing in church. And number seven is universal reconciliation. God loves everybody. We are all God's children. And yet, I think if you take these seven things and you mix that into the stew and you look at it, you'll get some idea why American Christianity has fallen so far from the truth that we used to claim and we used to follow right here in the good old US of A. Got a couple minutes left. Somebody help me wrap it up.
Well, I want to go back to number two. I want to go back to number two on that exaggeration or whatever it was of grace.
Mm-hmm.
We offer that, but we don't offer that to one another. We only offer that to believers.
Oh, that's my drop.
Because the moment you make that little mistake, oh, right there, that proves he's not saved.
Yeah. Whoever put the definition of grace in Bible dictionaries needs to rot in hell forever and ever and ever because they gave an erroneous, wrong, non-biblical definition of grace. And the church has run with that definition and formed their doctrines around that definition. And it, you know, if the foundation of something is bad, that thing is eventually going to fail. And the foundation of what the church thinks grace is bad. And that's what's causing a lot of damage.
Folks, don't ever forget, the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth a whole loaf, right? So, if there's an overemphasis of prosperity that sneaks into the gospel and an exaggeration of grace that creeps in, and then we don't have to follow the law, and that we put men up to positions that they don't deserve, and then we follow them and worship them, challenging the did God really say, and the rejecting of hell and punishment, that stuff into the brew, it doesn't come out looking like the original thing. And that's really kind of some of the stuff we're dealing with. So, hey,
Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
I got a pastor friend of mine. You know him. I'm not going to mention his name, but recently they booted him out of his church, and he's been so negative that this world stinks. It's getting worse, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell him he needs to listen to the show this morning, but this will help him out.
Yep. Hey, man, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Just real quick. I just want to say thank you, Randy. This is why I'm here. Uh-huh. That what he brought up has lifted so much negativity off of my shoulders because now I can see the light, and it's amazing the way that he was able to bring that up. And I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit, because I needed to hear that. That was great.
Amen. Love ever expanding, baby. Ever expanding. That's for sure. Hey, God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.